You're listening to The Course Creator Show, the podcast all about building your online course business. We talk about marketing strategy, making money, and creating a business with impact that gives you freedom and lights you up. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, a Canadian mom of two, a speaker, a real estate investor, a reality TV lover, and an online business strategist who has helped thousands of entrepreneurs create, launch, and scale their digital course businesses. Let's dive into this episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Course Creator Show. So if you've been following me for a while, or you've taken my programs, or you know really anything about the business that I run, you'll know that I talk a lot about making money. I mean, that's really at the heart of what I teach, right? Like how to create and launch a course, how to make more sales of that course using evergreen funnels, how to run a paid live workshop, how to make more with your email marketing. Like all of those things, the end goal is that you are making money in your business. What I don't talk about very often is like what happens after you've made that money, right? Of course, that money is going to pay for your life, right? Let's hope it's like that becomes your, you know, your new job essentially, and becomes the way in which that, you know, you live and you pay for all the things. But there's another element to that conversation, right? Because yes, we want to create businesses that allow us to maybe leave our 9-to-5 jobs or create more flexibility and freedom for ourselves and allow us to follow our passions and ambitions and create really successful companies. But the other element of this is talking about what you do next with that money in terms of creating assets, creating long-term financial freedom, and the whole conversation about personal finance. So that is a little bit of what I'm going to talk about today. I want to talk about two big shifts that happened for me as it relates to personal finance. One is like kind of around flipping my thinking around investing, and then another one is around setting money goals. And I'm just going to like take you through a couple little stories and sort of anecdotes of mine around that. But the reason why I'm really talking about this, and I hope you're going to get as excited as I am about this upcoming event, because it is looking so good. Like I just can't with the speaker lineup. It's just incredible. And if you haven't heard me talking about it on Instagram stories or seen it in my emails, I am referencing a brand new 5-day virtual event called Personal Finance Unlocked. And this is an event that I am co-hosting with my business and in real life friend, Mallory Rowan. She and I were the founders of something called Growth Week that we did for the first time in 2021. We have since done workshops, but we haven't gone back to a kind of larger 5-day event like the original one, but we now are. And it is looking so hot, better than ever. Like I'm so jazzed about this event. It's all things personal finance. It's really the event that's about to change everything you thought you knew about money management and personal finance in the very best way. We have about 30 speakers lined up who are some of the most like respected and just like incredible voices in the personal finance and money space. I think you're going to be incredibly blown away. If you want to go right now to the page, it's growthweeklive.com. We'll take you right there to the page about Personal Finance Unlocked, but we'll link to it in the show notes so you can head on over there afterwards too if that makes more sense for you. But it's free, okay? I encourage you to sign up and grab a ticket. As usual, there's an all-access pass with this type of event. So if you can't attend, basically with the free ticket, you'll have 24 hours to consume each day's talks. But if you would prefer to just have lifetime access to all of them and watch them at your own time, I mean, I think that like what would be so cool is to buy the all-access pass and then this becomes your, you know, like if you're someone who goes on like a lunchtime walk and you always pop in a podcast, or if you like to, you know, put on some like something when you're like doing your like morning routine in the morning, that's when you like consume sort of education type stuff. Like just get the all access pass and make this your kind of like business ed for the next little bit, because you're going to want to listen to all these presentations. And I won't go on and on about it right now, but head over to the page. You'll see the 5 daily themes and kind of the stuff that we're going to be talking about. But what I wanted to really dive into today are these two I kind of was just reflecting on like my own experiences with money. And I realized there were two main, or just like two sort of reflections that I had that I really thought would be cool to share with you. And maybe you share some of these. Maybe this has happened to you as well. But I think that they were important moments for me when thinking about money and how I'm creating, you know, that financial success in the for like future me, right? So the first thing I wanted to talk about was a little bit this idea of like flipping my thinking around investing. If you're anything like me, or I think like most people, when you think about investing, and like let's not even talk yet about like investing into what. Like that's what we're going to be talking about at Personal Finance Unlocked. So go grab your ticket. But even just the idea of like putting money aside into investments, I think by and large, what we think is like, okay, I'm going to be making a certain amount of money from my job, from my business, from whatever that looks like. And then it goes to, you know, paying for my expenses, for my life, my rent, my mortgage, my food, all the things. And then, okay, if there's anything left over at the end of the day, great, maybe I can like pop that into an investment account, right? And I had like this all really flipped for me at one point. And actually, it kind of is similar to if you've ever read the Profit First book. So that's like, I mean, it's on every like best books for entrepreneurs list, right? Like I'm sure if you've read entrepreneurial books, this one has come across your desk. But if not, I'll give you the lowdown really quickly of kind of the premise of the book. The idea is that as business owners, we should be putting a certain amount of our revenue into our profit account first before deducting expenses. So basically like flipping the traditional view of like sales in your business minus expenses in your business equals profit, and flipping it to sales in our business minus what we put into our profit account should then equal expenses. When we flip it around, the amount of money available for expenses suddenly becomes reduced, right? And so it's kind of like we force ourselves to get the job done with what's left over rather than letting the expenses eat up everything and being left with zero profit at the end of the day. So what I realized was this is kind of the same mentality that I had in terms of like flipping my thoughts around investments. So we can sort of take this same kind of analogy and apply it to our personal piggy banks too. It doesn't have to just be for business stuff. So imagine that you are, whether it's that you're paying yourself from your business or you are still you're making some kind of paycheck, whatever that looks like, imagine you pay yourself into an investment account first. So before you do, you know, any spending, and that spending, like some of that are fixed things that we really don't have control over. But then sometimes it's spending on things like splurges, right? Or just things that kind of like eat up the random little bits of money, like month over month. I'm sure we can all relate to that, right? Like we've all been there. Like, sure, we pay our bills, but then what's left over often vanishes into this black hole of like spontaneous Home Depot trips, right? Or like, oh, I'll just pop into like HomeSense or Target. And like we end up thinking we're going in for one thing and we come out with like 17 other things, right? Like that kind of spend, right? So if we flip the script and if the first check we essentially like cut each month was to our future selves, like into an investment account, that's like building our own little asset bank right from the beginning, right? And I say this, like no matter where you are, I feel like this is doable. And the reason why I say that is because I started this many years ago with $50 a month. And I put it into, like in Canada here, we have something called an RRSP account, which is like a registered retirement savings plan. And that's like an investment account. Well, the RRSP is the vehicle. You choose like how you're investing it, but that's a conversation for another day. But I set up a $50 a month automatic withdrawal at, I can't remember actually if it was at the beginning of the month or the end of the month, but it like corresponded with when at the time I was making, like I was getting my paychecks. This was back when I was like still working in my public health job. And this was back in the day when to me, $50 a month seemed like a lot, and it did not feel like I had that left over every month. Like, I was definitely feeling like a paycheck to paycheck. That was my life at the time. And I remember thinking like, oh, I don't know, like this might be too much even. But that $50 a month, I started it. I never stopped it. I only increased it over time. And that $50 a month really for me kickstarted the journey of like building my investment portfolio, right? I really just started there. And trust me, it's kind of like planting the seeds for a garden that you can one day feast on, right? And it's not just about the act of saving it or investing it. It's transforming that mentality around kind of when you put it into, like paying yourself first into your investment accounts. Really is similar to that profit first idea. And for me, that really transformed how I approached investments. So rather than being like, oh, I'll wait and see if I have anything left at the end of the month or even at the end of the year, and I'll put that into investments, I flipped it to be a part of like the first part of the story. And I did the same thing later when I had kids. My husband and I, we set up a monthly transfer again right at the beginning of, right after my daughter was born. I literally remember her being in the carrier, and I walked to the bank and she was like sleeping on my stomach as I opened up that account. And that's for, in Canada, we call those our ESP accounts. So it's like a registered education savings plan. And I opened that up right at the beginning and again, set up another monthly transfer. And at the time, that monthly transfer felt huge. We were super tight on money at the time. Like, I was obviously off on a maternity leave, but that was not a very, I didn't have like, we call it top up here in Canada. Like, I didn't have anything more than just basic employment insurance for my maternity leave. And it was just a really tight time for us. Like, we bought a house and, you know, we weren't making very much money at the time, but we set up that monthly transfer. And then my son came along a couple of years later and we upped it. And we still to this day make that same monthly transfer. And I like to think that we started that 10 years ago for my daughter. And I think it was, I can't even remember what we started with her for like the monthly transfer. But then once my son came along, it was just over $200 a month. And now that account is like over 70K, like for their education. And they're only 8 and 10. Like, we still have a long time to go to allow ourselves to continue to put into that account, to allow it to compound. You know, in Canada, you can get like government matching up to a certain amount. So we've been maximizing on that. And it just feels, never were we like saving and putting in a big, big chunk. It's just been a part of our, it's essentially like in our heads, it's a part of our, like our monthly expenses, right? So like, it also forces you when you do it that way, it forced us to get smart with our spending, because adding that, like putting that automatic thing of $200 a month into that account back when we, when the babies were babies, like I said, like we did not have extra pennies at the time. So it forced us to, you know, look at our spending again. And that money was already gone at the beginning of the month. And so we had to like, you know, be smarter in other areas of our spending where we could. And I think that that discipline really paid off in spades, like over the long term. I didn't necessarily have anyone to really guide me on this or on how to like invest or build our financial assets, but just the act of doing that in the beginning has allowed us to continue to use some of that, some like that mentality and some of that discipline as we've gone on to now be in a very different place with like a much more successful business and, you know, multiple investment accounts and, you know, we've got our footing a whole lot more than we did back then, but it really stemmed from there. So I think that was just a really like important reflection and lesson in terms of shifting that mindset around investing first, because it's really not about the amount. It's about that habit and the discipline and that mindset shift. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about on this episode was this idea around setting goals too, like setting money goals, because it's all well and fine to think like, I want to be rich or, you know, I want to, I don't know, retire comfortably or these very like vague ideas when we know that setting goals that are far more specific, like we know this as a business owner too, right? Like when you set really specific, tangible goals and you work backwards on how to achieve them, like in business, it's the same thing with money. So I was thinking about this, like this analogy of if, like, let's say you started a puzzle, right? But you're starting a puzzle and someone's just giving you a bag of pieces and you don't know what the picture is on the box. You don't have the box. So you don't know what the picture is. You don't know what you're supposed to be building. And you have to piece it all together without having a clue of what it's supposed to look like. That would like be frustrating, right? I will tell you that is actually how my husband's grandmother liked to do puzzles. Like she was the puzzle queen and she was like, no, you cannot use the picture. Like that's going to make it too easy. But like that aside, this is like, I think what it's like to be trying to create your financial future, but without having any goals or an understanding of how to get to where you want to go, right? Like it's like doing a puzzle with no picture. It makes it 10 times harder if you decide to do it that way. So instead, if you've like set some really tangible goals and then worked backwards on how you're going to get yourself there, then it suddenly becomes a whole lot clearer, right? About what actions you need to take in order to make that happen. So I was thinking like about this and I was thinking about, okay, what were some times when we have goals right now. I say my husband and I have goals right now in terms of our finances. I was trying to even think back to, you know, other versions of myself. And I have done this for a long time. So one that immediately came up for me was when I was in my undergrad in university. So you can picture like, you know, 20-year-old Gemma, you know, I was just about to graduate from undergrad. And I obviously was like already had my like wanderlust type of attitude, to, like just wanting to explore the world. Funny how things don't change, right? And throughout university, like I had been really lucky, okay? Like I was able to receive financial support for tuition and rent from my parents, which I'm forever eternally grateful for. So they had done, you know, what I am now doing for my kids, which is trying to, like they had put away into an RESP when I was growing up so that they were able to support my tuition and rent payments when I was in undergrad. However, I still hustled throughout university. I was the girl. I had like a bunch of jobs throughout university. I was like, I bussed tables at a restaurant. I was a receptionist at a spa, which like that was such a good gig because then I could get free spa treatments. I became like an admin assistant at a physiotherapy clinic. So like I just had all these different jobs. Oh my gosh, another one I just came to mind was I used to do, I was like an actor in like medical exams. Like I would go in and play like a role for like med students who needed, like they always use actors, right? To do these like, what are they called? These big exams, the OSCEs, that's what they're called. And, you know, you're just having to like play a role. Anyway, that's a total tangent that just came to mind. That was another random job I had during university. I just did all of these jobs. And why did I do them? It was because I had this burning goal of saving $10,000 by the end of graduation. So this was not because I wanted to like go and make a big purchase or buy a car or something like that. I wanted to save that $10,000 because I knew it would buy me freedom after graduation. And what I mean by that is I wanted to go and I wanted to spend 2 months volunteering in Nepal after I had graduated. And then I wanted to backpack around Southeast Asia for another 6 months after that. And the outcome, like what happened? Yeah, I nailed it. I made it happen. I saved the $10,000 and that allowed me to do basically like 8 months of travel and kind of just nomadic life on the other side of the world until I came home and had to, you know, sort myself out and get a job and do all the things. So like setting that goal though was huge for me because I had something really tangible I was working towards and would pick up extra shifts or, you know, scrimp here and there, or like do whatever I needed to do in order to hit that goal. Another time was when I was about to have my second baby. So my son was about to come along and at the time, I had been, like, since having my daughter, I'd never gone back to my full 9-to-5 job after having my daughter, but I took on contracts in, like, my public health role that I'd had before. So I was doing contract work in that space, and I was also growing my side hustle, like blog and e-commerce business on the side. So by the time I was pregnant with my son, I was doing those two things, and together they were bringing in a full-time income. But when I had my son, I gave up like the public health contracts, and I was just doing my blog and e-commerce shop at the time. And when he was, like when I was home with him for that first year, I really set myself a goal of being on a mission to save up a year's worth of daycare costs. And why did I want to do that? Again, because I wanted to buy myself the time to dive full-time into my business once my son started daycare. Like I could only do so much when he was at home, right? I could do a little bit of work during his naps and stuff, but I knew that if he was in daycare, once he was like 18 months old, then I could focus and hopefully really make a go of my online business and really try and turn it into a full-time income at that point. And luckily, during that time in our lives, like my husband had a stable 9-to-5 job, and we had sort of gotten used to living just on his salary at the time. And it's, you know, his salary wasn't like huge or anything like that, but it did what it needed to do for us to be able to live just on his salary. And so I could see my, you know, side hustle blog as being the leverage that I needed to save up for daycare and then go all in on my business. And essentially gave myself, you know, that year of daycare to really be able to turn the business into a full-time income. And if not, I really would have like had to have gone back to some contract work or even fully gone back to like my public health career. And I will tell you, I felt like I had just like lit a fire under my ass that year more than ever. And that first year that my son was in daycare, so from when he was like 18 months old, that first year was when I hit my first six-figure gross revenue year with my online business. I had a vision of what I want and I went after it. And so these are just, I tell you these stories just because they're snippets of my life where setting really tangible financial goals, I think made all the difference in like actually making them happen. And, you know, life has brought many other times of setting goals like this, right? Like my husband and I buying our first house, tackling renovation projects, buying investment real estate, putting like making goals around our stock market investments and like our retirement planning. There's been lots of times that we've set financial goals, and each time we set a goal, it's like a stepping stone towards the future that I am dreaming of or building or creating, right? And I think without these goals, there'd be so much more of just like wandering aimlessly, right? And not tangibly working towards something. Having those money goals really gave me like that direction and that motivation and a clear path ahead that I needed. But we know setting goals is just the start, right? Like the real magic definitely starts to happen when we equip ourselves with the knowledge and the tools to actually achieve them. And that's why I'm so beyond excited for Personal Finance Unlocked. It's really not just another summit. This is going to be a game-changing event from an incredible lineup of speakers who really know what they're talking about. They are true experts in the fields of personal finance, investing, money mindset, and so much more. So they're going to be sharing everything you need to know about making your money really work for you, how to set smart financial goals, how to actually achieve them, like what is the strategy? That is what we are going to be covering during this event. It's from April 8th to 12th live, but if you want to grab an All Access Pass, it is there. It's actually on early bird special right now, so you can grab it before the event kicks off, and then you have lifetime access to all of the presentations. And you're really going to want to like get your journal out, be ready to map out not only some financial goals, but also your plan on how to get there. Like, what does that investment strategy look like? How are we going to be building assets? What does the long-term financially secure future for you look and feel like? So if that feels exciting to you, if you feel like, yep, it's time for me to like get clear and get motivated and moving on like my making these big money moves, then I'm going to encourage you to grab a ticket. Head on over to growthweeklive.com. The link is in the show notes as well. And like I said, this is co-hosted by myself and my in real life and business friend, Mallory Rowan. And we just can't wait to spend these 5 days with you. So I hope this has been an interesting conversation. I would love to hear more about, you know, money goals that you've set, or whether you are really like tackling building your own financial future and investing and doing all those things. I would love to hear from you about all the money things. So you can always send me a DM on Instagram. I'm at gemma.bonhamcarter. Share with this episode if it has been helpful for you. And otherwise, I really I'm excited, and I can't wait to see you at Personal Finance Unlocked. We kick off on April 8th. I will see you then. See you in the next episode. Thanks for listening. That's a wrap on this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're ready to launch your first course, sign up for our free class in the show notes to learn my method on how to do it successfully and unlock an invite into our signature program, Course Creator School. Or if you've already launched a course and you're ready to scale and go evergreen, it is time to join us inside of the Passive Project, my membership community for experienced course creators. Head to gemmabonhamcarter.com/apply to submit an application. If you enjoyed this episode, leave me a rating or review, or tag me over on Instagram at gemma.bonhamcarter. I would love to hear from you. I'll see you next time on The Course Creator Show.